Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So anyone who has listened to preachers for any length of time recognizes that on occasion they borrow material from other writers or speakers. I know for myself, I often look for that particular insight or comment or quote that illustrates some biblical truth, and we're especially excited if we can find something from some Lutheran like Luther or C.F.W. Walther, our first president of our synod. One of my professors at the seminary even had a name for this borrowing. He called it creative appropriation. Now, before you say that's only another name for plagiarism, creative appropriation actually makes a great deal of sense. I don't know very many average preachers who have the creative imagination of a C.S. Lewis or a Max Lucado or the theological insight of a Martin Luther. I know I certainly don't. So this morning I've appropriated a quote which speaks to the text for today. It's from William Shakespeare's Julius Caesar. Now, just to set this up, Caesar has just been assassinated by Brutus, who then offered his own eloquent speech to the people of Rome in which he defended his act of murder and treason. And his speech was very persuasive as he convinced many that he was acting in their best interest by killing their emperor, who, in his opinion, had become a tyrant. So now Brutus has finished speaking, and Mark Antony speaks on behalf of Julius Caesar, his murdered friend and king. "I come not, friends, to steal away your hearts. I am no orator, as Brutus is, but, as you know me well, a plain, blunt man that love my friend, and that they know full well that gave me public leave to speak of him. For I have neither writ nor words nor worth, action nor utterance nor the power of speech to stir men's blood. I only speak of this. I tell you that which you yourselves do know, and show you sweet Caesar's wounds, poor dumb mouths, and bid them speak for me." In our text for today, from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 2. "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power." I think Shakespeare's words are an excellent commentary on Paul's message to the Corinthians here. In both, the one who speaks is all too aware of his personal inadequacy to proclaim his message. Each one uses creative appropriation, knowing that something or someone else will speak to his listeners on his behalf. In Antony's case, it was the wounds of the dead Caesar which spoke to and revealed Brutus's heinous actions. And for Paul, it was the Christ who was wounded and killed, who was crucified but now raised from the dead, who speaks for him. It's no different for you and me. In fact, God not only gives us permission to use creative appropriation, he tells us to. As your pastor, the one to whom you've been given public leave by virtue of my call, I am to speak nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And as God's child, when you tell others about Christ through your own words and your deeds, you are simply to point to Jesus and him crucified and let him speak on your behalf. Both of us have nothing more than the message of our friend and Savior who cared enough that he gave his life so that we might live. And you and I both know our inadequacies, our weaknesses all too well. In fact, so does God. And that's why he tells us not to rely on our eloquence or superior wisdom, but rather on the crucified Savior who speaks for us. You know, you don't need a seminary education to speak the message that God has given to us. In fact, I think that there are times when that education can actually get in the way. See, we theologians often have a way of making Jesus incomprehensible. This graffiti was found written on the wall of St. John's University. "Jesus said unto them, Who do you say that I am? And they replied, You are the eschatological manifestation of the ground of our being, the kerygma in which we find the ultimate meaning of our interpersonal relationships. And Jesus said, What? The simple truth is that the message is very simple. But we make it more difficult than it needs to be. God has spelled it out for us very clearly. We were lost. We were cut off from God. Jesus came and died for our sins and rose from the grave so that we might have life with him. You see, the last thing the Lord wants you to do when you tell others about Jesus is put your words in his mouth. You and I have a very simple and clear message to speak. I think Paul said it this way best in Timothy. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. When we speak to others about the Lord, he doesn't just expect, he demands creative appropriation. Not just once, but twice in 1 Corinthians, Paul described his relationship to God's word this way: "For what I received, I passed on to you." Paul simply says, "I didn't make up a message to give to you. Rather, I simply delivered the goods. I simply delivered what was given to me." And that's what God tells us to do. As we tell and retell that simple message of Christ and him crucified. Mark Antony put it this way: "I only speak of this. I tell you that which you yourselves do know." See, the message that we've been given to tell others is a message that can never be heard too much. We simply tell others the good news that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world so that people will know they have peace with God through Christ. I think our problem is that we wonder if it could really be this simple. It's hard to believe that this message, so simply put, is really able to change lives. But here's what we hold on to when we begin thinking like that. That message has done this very thing for almost 2,000 years. So why would we not think that it would continue to do so? As Paul declares in his letter to the Romans, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." It isn't up to us, and it isn't up to you, it isn't up to me, to make his word do its job. That's God's responsibility. Now, I know that as you leave here and think about sharing this simple message with others, you probably feel like St. Paul did. You'll go with weakness and fear and much trembling. So do I. And you know what? We should. We're carrying out the most important mission in the world. We bear a message which can and will change lives, people's lives, for eternity. And you and I know all too well our own sins and failings. But God's promise is that as his message is shared, it isn't us speaking, but Christ who is speaking for us. The promise that he gives to us in Isaiah 55 is that his word goes forth, that as his word goes forth, it shall accomplish that which he purposes and shall succeed in the thing for which he sent it. Your eloquence, your creativity often gets in the way. And it doesn't make it life-changing. It doesn't make it powerful. It doesn't make it effective. It is life-changing, powerful, and effective. And as we speak it, the Holy Spirit empowers that message and works in the hearts and lives of those who hear it. At a missionary meeting on the island of Rarotonga in the Pacific Ocean, there was an old man who stood up and said, "I have lived during the reign of four kings. In the first, we were continually at war, and a fearful season it was, watching and hiding with fear. During the reign of the second, we were overtaken with a severe famine and all expected to perish as we ate rats and grass. During the third, we were conquered and became the peck and prey of the two other settlements at the island. At that time, if a man went out to fish, he rarely ever returned, and if a woman went far away to fetch food, she was rarely ever seen again. But during the reign of this third king, we were visited by another king, a good king, a peaceful king of love, Jesus, the Lord from heaven. He has gained the victory. He has conquered our hearts. And because he has, we now have peace and plenty in this world, and we hope to soon dwell with him in heaven." Pretty simple. The message of Jesus goes forth, and it has its effect. The message of Jesus is given, and the Holy Spirit breaks through the stubborn hearts of people, and a miraculous change takes place. Where there was only darkness and unbelief, he brings light and love and faith. And that faith takes them into eternity. So as you leave this place to share God's message, listen again to this paraphrase of Antony's words and think about making them in some way your own. "I come not, friends, to steal away your hearts. I'm no orator, but as you know me, plain, blunt person that loves my friend. For I have neither writ nor words nor worth, action nor utterance, nor the power of speech to stir men's blood. I only speak clearly. I tell you that which you yourselves do know, and show you sweet, sweet Jesus' wounds, and bid them to speak for me." Amen.